Oh, Peter. So we're reading in Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, first verse. Questions by the sages. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we'll chant this verse all together rather than repeat it. So we'll start with the Om Namo Bhagavate again. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Janmadyasya to nyala itarakas tartar viship abhigyat swara.
It goes with one day Krishna Kirtana Gana. So you can do that too.
Krishna Kirtana. Okay, can you help me?
We can all
chant. Janmadyasya to nyala itarakas tartar viship abhigyat swara. Tene Brahma Vidaya Adikavaye Muyanti Yatsurara Tejo Vaya Nidam Yata Minimayo Yatra Tisargo Nusha Lama Sriya Sada Nirasta Kutakam Satyam Param Yivahi. Janmadyasya yato maya itaratas chartesya abhyasara tene brahma hridaya adhikara kuyanti yatsuraya tejo bhavim vidam yata vimayo chachi sargo nusha Namasmaya sada nirasta kuhakam satyam haram yinahi Janmasmasya yato mayadikaratas chakisa adhyasana Tene Translation, purport by Srila Prabhupada. O my Lord Shri Krishna, son of Vasudeva, O all-pervading personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. I meditate upon Lord Shri Krishna because he is the absolute truth and the primeval cause of all causes of the creation, sustenance, and destruction of the manifested universes. He is directly and indirectly conscious of all manifestations, and he is independent because there is no other cause beyond him. It is he who only, who first imparted the Vedic knowledge under the heart of Brahmaji, the original living being. By him, even the great sages and demigods are placed into illusion as one is bewildered by the illusory representations of water seen in fire or land seen on water. Only because of him do the material universes, temporarily manifested by the reactions of the three modes of nature, appear factual, although they are unreal. I therefore meditate upon him, Lord Shri Krishna, who is eternally existent in the transcendental abode, which is forever free from the illusory representations of the material world. I meditate upon him, for he is the absolute truth. And we're starting with the words in Vedic literatures. In Vedic literatures, it is said that the absolute truth, personality of Godhead, is the chief amongst all living beings. All living beings, beginning from the first created being, Brahma, down to the smallest ant, are individual living beings. And above Brahma, there are even other living beings with individual capacities. And the personality of Godhead is also a similar living being. And he is an individual as are the other living beings. But the Supreme Lord, or the Supreme Living Being, has the greatest intelligence, and he possesses supermost inconceivable energies of all different varieties. If a man's brain... Can someone else read?
He offers his respect unto the Supreme Intelligence, addressed as the Para or Parameshvara, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that Parameshvara is Sri Krishna, as admitted in Bhagavad Gita and other scriptures delivered by Srila Vyasadeva. Specifically in this Srimad Bhagavatam, in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, no other Paratattva Samambonam than himself. Therefore, Srila Vyasadeva at once worships the Paratattva, Sri Krishna, whose transcendental activities are described in the 10th canto. Unscrupulous persons go immediately to the 10th canto, and especially to the 5 chapters which describe the Lord's Rasbands. This portion of the Srimad Bhagavatam is the most confidential part of this great literature. Unless one is thoroughly accomplished in the transcendental knowledge of the Lord, one is sure to misunderstand the Lord's worshipable transcendental pastimes called rasa dance and his loving affairs with the gopis. This subject matter is highly spiritual, and only the liberated persons who have gradually attained to the stage of paramhansa can transcendentally relish this rasa dance. Srila Vyasadeva therefore gives the reader the chance to gradually develop spiritual realization before actually relishing the essence of the pastimes of the Lord. Therefore, he purposely invokes the Gayatri Mantra, Dimahi. This Gayatri Mantra is meant for spiritually advanced people. When one is successful in chanting the Gayatri Mantra, he can enter into the transcendental position of the Lord. One must therefore acquire brahminical qualities or be perfectly situated in the quality of goodness in order to chant Gayatri successfully and then attain to the stage of transcendentally realizing the Lord, his name, fame, qualities, and so on. You good?
Keep going. We have to go to
Srimad Bhagavatam is the narration of the Svarup of the Lord manifested by his internal potency. And this potency is distinguished from the external potency, which has manifested the cosmic world, which is within our experience. Srila Vyasadeva makes a clear distinction between the two in this shloka. Srila Vyasadeva says herein, the manifested internal potency is real, whereas the external manifest energy in the form of material existence is only temporary and illusory, like the mirage in the desert. In the desert mirage, there is no actual water. There is only the appearance of water. Real water is somewhere else. The manifested cosmic creation appears as reality, but reality, of which this is but a shadow, is in the spiritual world. Absolute truth is in the spiritual sky, not the material sky. In the material sky, everything is relative truth. That is to say that one truth depends on something else. This cosmic creation results from interaction of the three modes of nature, and the temporary manifestations are so created as to present an illusion of reality to the bewildered mind of the conditioned soul, who appears in so many species of life, including the higher demigods like Brahma, Indra, Chandra, and so on. In actuality, there's no reality in the manifested world. There appears to be reality, however, because the true reality which exists in the spiritual world, where the personality of God eternally exists with his transcendental paraphernalia. The chief engineer of a complicated construction does not personally take part in the construction, but he knows every nook and corner because everything is done under his direction. He knows everything about the construction, both directly and indirectly. Similarly, the personality of Godhead, who is the supreme engineer of this cosmic creation, knows every nook and corner, although affairs are apparently being carried out by the demigods. Beginning from Brahma down to the insignificant ant, no one is independent in the matter of material creation, for the hand of the Lord is seen everywhere. All material elements, as well as all spiritual sparks, emanate from him only. Whatever is created in this material world is but the interaction of two energies, the material and the spiritual, which emanate from the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. A chemist can manufacture water in the laboratory by mixing hydrogen and oxygen, but in reality, the living entity works in the laboratory under the direction of the Supreme Lord, and the materials with which he works are also supplied by the Lord. The Lord knows everything directly and indirectly, and he is cognizant of all minute details, and he is fully independent. He is compared to a mine of gold. The cosmic creations in so many different forms are compared to objects made from the gold, such as gold rings, necklaces, and so on. The gold ring and the gold necklace are qualitatively one with the gold in the mine, but quantitatively the gold in the mine is different. Therefore, the absolute truth is simultaneously one and different. Nothing is absolutely equal with the absolute truth.
Okay,
but at the same time, nothing is independent of the absolute truth.
Just finish that last paragraph, next paragraph, and then we're done.
Conditioned souls, beginning from Brahma, who engineers the entire universe, down to the insignificant ant, are all creating, but none of them are independent of the Supreme Lord. The materialist wrongly thinks that there is no creator other than his own self. This is called maya, or illusion. Because of his poor fund of knowledge, the materialist cannot see beyond the purview of his imperfect senses. Thus, he thinks that matter automatically takes its own shape without the aid of his pure intelligence. This is refuted in the shloka by Srila Vyasadeva. Since the complete whole, or the absolute truth, is the source of everything, nothing can be independent from the body of the absolute truth. Whatever happens to the body quickly becomes known to the embodied. Similarly, the creation is the body of the absolute whole. Therefore, the absolute knows everything directly and indirectly that happens in the creation.
I think we could spend a long time on all these points, but I guess it's arranged to speak on this today. I hope I can last. My voice isn't very good. there's been recently some Mom Vishnu Pada Krishna started with Shimati Bhakti Vinata Swami Namaste, Sarasvati Devi Guru, and Sri Shishamani. You know, it would help if someone could get rid of the incense that's burning behind me, I think. It's really not helping matters. No, just get rid of the incense. So recently we had some storm scares, and unfortunately we didn't get any rain out of them, but we did get a few breezes. And in the end of August in Florida, for those of you that don't live here permanently, you need a breeze. The heat gets intolerable, especially if you're working outside. And so those breezes are very much appreciated because of the suffering of the material body. And in the same way, this material body, which is mine, is suffering right now. There are many different sources of intolerable suffering. There's, of course, there's the diseases of the body, and then there's the bugs that bug you, and then there's so many different uncertainties in life. And then we get these cool breezes of the Bhagavatam, which really relieve that suffering, because we get so much understanding that we're not this body. We get understanding of this supreme person, so much understanding of who he really is. And we get the satisfaction of knowing that we're engaged in the most perfect activity, which is to serve his lotus feet. So this is refreshing to that soul which is now encaged in this place of suffering. I was just listening to a lecture of Prabhupada, and he was just explaining that this is the perfect place for suffering. That's really what it's meant for. And it really is. No matter who you are or where you are, there's plenty of that to go around, and then some. So this is Bhagavatam is very relishable, and as it's describing here, it demands our respect. We should bow down to it every day and serve it by hearing it very attentively. And it helps us to remember of our eternal position, which is that lowly servant trying to reestablish that loving relationship with him again. Besides the Bhagavatam, what other book would you read? Not including any Vedas, but what other book in the library? You know, what do you? No, you can't. No transcendental Hare Krishna books. But besides the good old Hare Krishna books, there's really no book that you're going to get this knowledge. And so we have such a gem here. Someone used to make covers for the Bhagavatams that were really, really nice. It would be nice. These are jumbo books, but maybe we can make a new one. It'd be very nice. This first canto in particular is an introduction, but we get to meet Krishna in so many different faces and different levels. And here is understanding, of course, his independence, his supremacy over everything, and the all-knowing personality that's known as Sri Krishna. And he has so many more attributes that we'll hear of over these different cantos. Sometimes I get a little unfortunate breeze of what's called Britain's Got Talent or America's Got Talent, something like that. And all these people are trying to, you know, show their talent and show how great they are and try to win $1 million and something like that. They're dancing, they're singing, they're doing whatever. But Krishna, he could outdo anybody. I mean, these look like peep squeaks for him. He can play the flute like nobody's business, right? He can dance with all different kinds of dances. He knows languages of everyone. He can lift mountains. He can do so much more than any of the greatest performers on these talent shows. 64 arts and sciences. He learned 1 second. He learned them all and never forgot them, and he was expert at all of them. Even there's some that are calling how to a kind of art. What's a kind of art? I don't know, but anyway, he's expert at a kind of art, and he's expert at playing on little drums and all kinds of things. This is our Supreme Lord, and he can display this as a universal show. He can amaze us all, and they have these people on those things where they do magic. The illusions that Krishna can put on us are unlimited. So for sure, he is the greatest personality. The only one that's really independent. We can think that we have some little teeny bit of independence. He gives us a little bit, but it's misused immediately. But he is completely independent. All-knowing, he's the supreme director, and no one's greater than or equal to him. So he deserves our respect, and we should become his subordinates. This is our eternal position. This very first verse, just these first paragraphs, rules out anyone in this material world being the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No one can fit this bill here. And the Bhagavatam it is a strange diet. What it does is it starves our false ego. If you want to get rid of your false ego, just read the Bhagavatam, starting from right here. I mean, who are we in comparison to Krishna? Of course, it does feed our real ego, and it makes us so happy that we're just his servant, we're his humble servant, and that we can relish that position in this lifetime and the next. So this is our diet, is to hear this regularly. The atheist is described in here, that the atheists, they really lose out. Their teeth are broken, their tongues have been ripped out, and they can't enjoy one bit of nectar in this life or the next. They have no faith in the Supreme Lord. They really are the losers. And then there's other people that think that they're God's gift, that they're more capable, or they're at least as capable as God, and therefore they're so important. How unfortunate that is, too, because they don't get to appreciate Krishna, and they're definitely going to have to return again to, I'm sure, in a much lower position. And then there's some people that think that they're a gift to God, that they're actually better than God. And their life, of course, is going to be doomville at the next lifetime. So here we're very, very, very fortunate that we can really relish Krishna's pastimes and begin to understand who he is in a very minute way. We're kind of a part of an elite club. Just like in the airport, they have these elite clubs and you get to enjoy their lounge and they give you free food and things like that. Well, we're this elite club, we get to go to all Krishna's parties, to all his celebrations, we get to eat his food, we get to really enjoy. I mean, this is, you know, something, we've got a lot of perks just being a devotee of Krishna. And we should make sure that we keep up our membership card and chant our 16 rounds and serve nicely so we don't get kicked out at any time. Yeah, we get to dress and cook with him, we get to clean with him, we know his associates, we're getting to meet all his friends here and intimate associates in the Bhagavatam. We've really been invited into this very close family of Krishna. And we have access to him just by chanting his name. 24/7 he's there if we'd like to associate with him. So this is a wonderful opportunity in this human form of life, and much of it we can thank the Bhagavatam for encouraging us in keeping this position as his servant. This first canto is not baby food, although it's a big bite, very, very big bite to swallow. I remember we used to distribute these like anything out on the streets, along with fifth canto and sixth canto. But first canto, I think we're still distributing. We have them up here for sale and everything. It is a big thing to take for someone who's an infant. But Prabhupada, he gave us infants solid food from day one, right? He gave us such a wonderful thing to chew on, but he made it so digestible because of his purports. And therefore, although it's such an elevated, compact, intense understanding of the Lord, we can get a little taste of Krishna right away just by hearing a little bit every day, taking a little bit more and more and more every day, and filling up our hearts with this knowledge. So we have to beg for that, to keep that taste and be thankful, even though we're getting older. Some people say you get a little thick-headed at that point, but actually a little sticky too. So hopefully that this will stick, maybe this time through hearing it, we'll get a little bit more out of it and be able to really put it in our hearts and really appreciate what Prabhupada has given us. Definitely worth more than $16 or $20. They got a deal, that's for sure. It is said that hearing is believing, but it's described by Prabhupada many times, in the introduction to Sri Upanishad. If you believe in it, then your hearing is even more more acute. It's more beneficial because then you can actually become purified. You can read it, but if you don't believe it, it's effective. But if you believe it, then you can hear it, your heart can hear it, and that purification can become very, very intrusive on our mundane minds. So I find that I have reflections every day of what I hear in the Bhagavatam. Just sitting outside the other day, I was just sitting outside and this dragonfly came by, very unusual looking thing, never seen anything like before, black and white, and has these four little squares for its wings that were connected. You couldn't see it. So it looked like one of those old World War II gliders or something. And it comes every day to the same place and it shows off for me. It does all these gliding things and everything. And you're just amazed at what Krishna can create. Here it's describing it. He can create universes, but can also create this far-out little thing that we imitate by our, you know, our propeller and jets and stuff like that. But just looking at creation, we can understand that this Bhagavatam comes to life. And then there's these bugs, these love bugs, right? Golly, open the door, and about 3,000 come in. So you have to, like, squeeze yourself in the door and hope that, you know, you don't step on a million of them that are on the other side. But you think of the Bhagavatam's teachings, right? Sex life, how attached you are. Perfect example. They're completely attached from the minute they're born to the minute they die, which is in about a day. And we can that teaching goes in our head. Oh, yes, don't let me get in this situation where I'm just attached to sex life. Please, I don't want to become one of those bugs on my windshield, you know? So there's so many realizations. And now the seasons are changing right on time. And we can't say, okay, forget fall, let's just have winter, it's really cold then, or enough of summer, let's have fall a little earlier. No. Krishna has everything perfectly arranged. And he arranged it all, but he's not affected by it. But he knows every little thing, just like it was saying about the construction engineer. He knows everything about the whole job. But he can walk away from it. He doesn't really. He has something. He doesn't have to worry about it. So this is the position of Krishna, and of course the wind. When we do feel those breezes or a nice strong wind, we think of, oh my gosh, my mind is like a Category 3 today. You know, oh, you know, and what to do, what to do, you know, and so we think of, it's raging. But if I hear this Bhagavatam and I engage in Krishna consciousness, then I find that it's a little Category 1. I can deal with it, and I can sit down and hear a little bit more today and chant some bhajan. So so many realizations we can have by the association of Krishna and in this wonderful teachings. So it's describing here how Krishna is the protector and how he's the supreme controller over everything. I mean, we might think that we're protected. We've got our insurance. We're citizens in the United States. We're protected, right? We're never going to see any fighting here in this country. We have wealth, no problem. We've got our bank accounts. And we have our parents. We're protected. We have so many things in our favor. I've got a nice position, you know, and a lot of wealth. And so some of those people in the Bahamas also had the same thing. And within 24 hours, they walk away with flip-flops and a duffel bag. No protection, no refuge. And so, but we, as devotees, we understand that our only shelter really is Krishna. He will protect us. He might take some of these things away, but he will protect us. And he will make it so that we don't have to come back here and go through it again. So this is our real security. And he helps us to override these difficulties. So he is our real protector. It's his mercy only that is protecting us. And of course, being the controller, I think of a conductor. I used to be in an orchestra when I was in junior high school, and the guy would be up there. I still remember how he did it, the whole thing. And he would point, you a little faster, you a little slower, you this. Okay, now you come in, you come in, you come in. And you can imagine if someone's playing something over here and thinking, I want to go faster. or I really like this other tune, or I'd really like to go a little higher, you'd be out of there, out of that orchestra in a minute, right? And so Krishna is the supreme conductor, and he has to throw people out all the time because they're not going with his direction. But we learn as devotees that if we just have a little bit of surrendered desire in our hearts, that what he does is he actually goes inside and he begins to direct us and guide us, and he can completely help us in this lifetime to perfect our lives. And we can really make music with him. We can actually do wonderful things for him, and he make us very, very satisfied. I happened to see a little clip. I don't know if any of you saw it. It was in Hindi. I couldn't understand it, but there were some things in English. And it's a very astute businessman in India. He put it together. It has some little comics that look very much like Prabhupada. It was animated, but it was showing how Prabhupada was a genius. And it went through his whole life. This man did a lot of research. And they showed him, and had little pictures of some of the devotees that looked like the devotees, and like Ambarish and things like that. But how he managed to produce this movement. He kept glorifying Prabhupada. What a businessman he was. How astute he was. How a genius. He just kept calling him a genius. How he started this movement. That was because Prabhupada was totally surrendered. Krishna entered his heart, directed his hand, wrote these books. Prabhupada even admitted that he loved his books because Krishna was writing them. He could relish them also. So this is what happens when we allow Krishna to direct our lives, and we can actually perfect our lives and please Krishna for a change instead of disappointing him lifetime after lifetime. So in here it's very clear that Krishna is very different than us. He might give us some qualities, but that he is behind everything, and he is in front of everything, and he gets everything going, and he's not affected by anything. Sometimes when I'm in the airport, I see very small children with these video games. I guess they have to wait for their flights, and their parents just give them the phone or whatever, and they just mesmerized by these games, playing these games. And what's happening is they're in a virtual world. They really go into a different world, and they get a different names, identities, actually, I understand. I've never done one. And they actually given different paraphernalia, and they have like a whole different realm. And then all of a sudden, their mom says, time for dinner, do your homework, go, and they wake up, oh yeah, now, oh that's right, I'm here in the material world, instead of their little world. That's what's happened to us, is that Krishna has some really high-tech agents, Maya is one of them, that can make this whole illusion that has mesmerized us to think that this material world is all in all. Amazing what Krishna can do. He's bewildered all of us and made us conditioned souls. But he can come here. He can come in any shape, form. He can come if he wants. He doesn't have to come if he wants, or he can send somebody else that looking like him. Whatever, he can come here, but he's not going to be affected by any of it. So there's a big difference between ourselves and the Supreme Lord. And we should realize that he is that intelligent designer. We should give credit to him for that. And some scientists, with a little bit of humility, do understand that he is that intelligent designer. But he's aloof from it all. He can walk away from it all at any point. So our most important activity now as a conditioned soul, but aspiring to learn about this spiritual realm that Krishna has also made and that we're trying to get back to, our most important activity is to hear this Bhagavatam regularly. Because it will remind us of our position. Otherwise, if we go a few days without any association, without hearing Krishna, we get into this thing immediately that I'm the controller, I'm in charge of this, I'm that. So it's Prabhupada stressed Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, that we must hear this every day. And we will be happy internally. It brings us into an internal world, a spiritual world that we can relish. And he said these are some windows to that spiritual world, but hearing about that world and making it part of our existence is priceless. You can go anywhere on the internet, you cannot buy internal happiness. There's no price. There's no internet source of it. If they say it'll give you some pleasure, they're false. The only real pleasure is hearing this Bhagavatam, because it gives us every single answer to every question. And it soothes that soul. So we need a regular study of it. And it'll make consciousness very solid. We have a cabin back here for the woofers, and it got a leak in it. And the person who was there went away for a while. And the conditions were perfect. It was middle of summer. It was closed. It was hot. And so she came back, opened up the door, and that little leak had turned into black fuzz all over, everywhere. And she couldn't even take a breath. As you notice, she's not here now. So that little teeny bit of leak destroyed, is destroying that building. So if we have some little leak in our consciousness, if we don't hear this regularly, then that little bit of Maya will leak in and start that, you know, gritty stuff in our consciousness. A little teeny desires start to sprout and spread and get fuzzy all over again. So we have to make sure that we can take advantage of one of these most important processes of devotional service. And other five most important processes, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam is one of them, living in a holy place, and associating with devotees, chanting the holy name. So all these things we get to do just in this short amount of time, worshiping the deities. So, and Tulsi Devi. So this is all a program to make us very leak-proof and very solid in this lifetime, so that we can finish up our business and go back to Krishna and actually meet this person that we're hearing about, who's so great. We can meet him face to face. So this is what we can look forward to. We're just being introduced to him now, and we should be very thankful for the Prabhupada service. Anyone like to add anything or any questions? Madam Mati?
Talking about hearing the Bhagavatam every day, and I feel, well, I have been hearing the Bhagavatam every day, but I don't know whether I'm hearing it or what, but I feel leak-proof when I'm sitting down and hearing it, and once I'm out the door, it seems like torrents of rain coming, and I mean, I'm assuming the Bhagavatam is supposed to have effect after hearing. Do you have any...
Therefore, serving is realizing. So when you walk out the store, what do? You go serve. All day long we're serving. So the realizations from the Bhagavatam come from serving. So we've got a foolproof program, so you're secure when you walk out of here. Don't worry about it. Sukhada?
Thank you. I love your analogies. They're so easy to remember. That a little leak, you know, can just destroy everything. So appreciate that. And when you were talking about the dragonfly, it reminded me of a story where Prabhupada was looking, I think it was at a mosquito, and he was, you know, just he was looking at it and being just amazed at how Krishna created it and how incredible it was. So
I think he said how it could take off and do all kinds of things.
Yeah, that. You know, he was able to see, you know, of course, be able to see Krishna everything, even in a mosquito, you know. So I was just comparing that to you also looking at the dragonfly.
Well, you can come out and help in the garden out here, and you can see a lot of different bugs. How many insects are there? 300,000? Or how many million? What's a, anybody know the amount? Okay. They're all here in Florida, plus a few. I guarantee you. I meet them every day. Strangest looking things you ever met. Anybody else? Yes.
Prahlad Maharaj and his father dialogues. That Prahlad Maharaj says that it takes a great intelligence to recognize the greatness of this great personality. So Hiranyakashipu challenged. No, Hiranyakashipu first asked, who are they? Who has more intelligence? She quoted this famous verse. But the last line is Iti Pungsar Pita Vishnu Bhakti Chena Navalakshana Kriyate Bhagavati Abda Aditam Uttama. One who has intelligence means they surrender and they please the Lord through this nine process. Sravana Kirtan. So very nice, profound. In the purport, that was probably the longest purport Prabhupada in Bhagavatam. To me, I don't know any other purport as long as. In the purport, Prabhupada writes, this is the sign of intelligence. That ultimate perfection of our material intelligence that we can understand, we can never understand with our intelligence to Krishna. So we surrender. And those who surrender, they are the highest holder of intelligence.
And then we get real knowledge, and all the rubbish goes away. And then we get the light of that Bhagavatam. Now, Srila Prabhupada, keep going.